Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 930. The topic is nutrition and the title is Managing Intense Cravings. So recently had a client reach out and they were having very intense cravings and they had expressed that they believe themselves to be mentally weak. They were frustrated with themselves and just, you know, what advice I had on mental toughness. Well, this person is a mental toughness beast. That was definitely not the issue. They are a badass. And I have felt bummed that they have been beating themselves up. I hadn't known about it yet. They hadn't expressed it to me. So I didn't know kind of any of this was happening. So when they said it to me, I was like, oh my gosh, you're definitely not mentally weak. You know, let's take a look and see what's going on. And what had happened was they were actually just under eating. So I had actually wrote their nutrition plan. But we didn't really reconnect within like the first week of it. So I didn't get feedback. And I have noted in my own mind to prompt harder in the future that people send me things. Because usually I'll send something like, hey, how's it going? They're going, everything's good. I assume everything's good. So asking deeper questions, you know, maybe asking better follow-up questions, that's definitely on me. There's some things I could do there to kind of get a better experience. But then also on their end is they could be more open. Now, some of the difficulty is people feel like it's weakness to complain. You're not complaining if you're going to express how the diet is going, especially within the first week. So too often people have the belief that diets, like you would write them, send them to them, and then it's kind of, that's it, it's done. Well, they're not. So diets are definitely the first like edition, first kind of draft of diets. They're guesstimations. So it's basically a very educated guess, hopefully. but it's a guesstimation of what is best. You then hear their response. Maybe they're having some digestive stress. So I changed a client over from eating jasmine rice to gluten-free pasta. All of a sudden, all this dietary stress, this bloating, goes away. Now, I don't know that. I have other people that we had to eat rice to get rid of bloating. So in one person, rice causes bloating, in another person, it takes it away. So a lot of it is individual dependent. Therefore, the feedback from the individual makes a big difference. So we started talking and essentially we started saying, okay, at what meals are you hungriest? What meals do you feel like you're, like, where in the day do you start to feel like the craving's getting more intense? And is it different on some days versus other days? So, for example, this person is a CrossFit instructor. So they, on some days, they have their own workouts, then they have CrossFit classes they teach. That's a high amount of activity. Another day, they have no CrossFit classes, and they'll just do some kind of lightweight stuff in a Globo gym, just kind of doing some small things. And other days they have the flip-flop of that. They don't do the Globo gym, but they just teach CrossFit. And then other days they have nothing. So it's chaos everywhere in the schedule. Now, in our diet, we have accounted for each variance of those days. But without feedback, we don't know if we may be under accounted for calories on the most active day or over accounted for calories on the inactive day. So that's where the feedback, the kind of conversation really helps to fine tune the diet more. So if you are following a diet, whether it's a diet I wrote or someone else wrote for you, make sure you communicate with the person who wrote the diet. If you are having struggles, they can't fix what they don't know is broke. So if you're not feeling, you know, hunky-dory and doing well with the diet, tell them. It does not mean you're complaining. You can simply say, hey, I'm experiencing this. Is this what would be expected? And the person might say yes. And you're like, well, shit. Okay, I guess I gotta deal with this. Or they'd say, oh, no, no, no. Let's make this change, this change, this change. So please be communicative to myself for sure. And if you're following another coach's diet, I'm sure they would want you to be your best. They're going to want to help you the best that they can. So give them more information. Another client I'm working with, he was telling me that sometimes in training, like his back would get tight or, you know, his hip might hurt and he didn't want to complain about anything. And he has had a hip replacement. And I was like, for the love of God, you've got to tell me what's going on. And here we talked about it and it was just getting used to the weak muscles, the muscles that had been kind of atrophied due to the surgery, getting used to them moving getting used to them feeling okay with weight acceptance. So as we worked on it together in the next session that we did in-person training, he felt more confident with what he was feeling. It made more sense. And therefore, the fear of what those feelings were went away. So the feelings weren't actually kind of bad pain. They were just unfamiliar. So therefore, talking through that, working through that, it made it feel more confident. So really, if you're working with a coach, the more you communicate with them, now hopefully you're not going to go psycho and go way over the parameters, but like for example, in the way I do it is my clients are always welcome to text me if they have something that's an emergency. If it's not an emergency, we have like an online document called My Journal, and they can kind of write in whatever they want there, and I try my best to check it at least once a week, usually, which is kind of our accepted kind of frequency, but I try to do it sooner than that. I have a goal of kind of communicating with every client at least every 5 days, knowing that I have 7 in like an allowance if life gets busy on my end. But I'll check on that document if they have any thoughts. You know, so if they think anything on Tuesday, they can write it into the journal, and even if I don't see it till Thursday or Friday, or we don't speak till Thursday or Friday, it's still there in the notes. They know their issue is still going to get answered. So you can work within the communication structure that your trainer has for you. But make sure you're communicating. Make sure you're, you know, voicing your feelings, especially if these feelings make you believe that maybe something is wrong, or maybe, you know, just things aren't what they should be. So make sure you voice that. And then the other thing I want to kind of point out from that for CrossFit instructor's example is not only did the starting point be a guesstimation, therefore we should have like checked in sooner with each other and communicated that, and that's on me, but then also their life changed. They started having to deal with CrossFit Open and doing more traveling and whatnot, so therefore their caloric demands increased even more. Now, during this time, their training was going great. They've been getting stronger. They look freaking insane, like six-pack abs. They look awesome. So it wasn't like they were so underfed that we were getting hurt or anything was happening in training. It was just they were having to struggle more mentally with nutrition than what was really needed. They were so damn shredded and lean, which is great. They look like they could step on stage. But there's going to be a degree of, okay, I want to be lean, but I also don't want to be like, you know, gnawing at my fingertips at the end of the day. So it wasn't miserably, horribly bad that the person was having red flags in their training. The training was still going well. It was just on that little bit low side to where it was starting to have those intense cravings. So it may have even started out totally fine, which is why neither one of us really thought to communicate on it. And then they got busy with traveling. They got busy with their other demands. They started feeling the cravings, not sure if it was, you know, are my meal times being off a little bit because of travel? Is it just the travel alone that's causing the problem? So there's a lot of self-navigation they would have probably went through before they even reached out. And all of that is to say that that happens. Everyone experiences that. But if you are paying for a service, make sure you use the service. So two minds are better than one. Well, hopefully. Depends on the second one. But two minds can come together and really look at things a little bit with a little more clarity. So if you have someone to talk to, talk to them. Great. Then recognize that when your life changes, your calories do change. If you start becoming busier, you will need more food. If you went from being busy to being inactive, you're going to need less food. So make sure you recognize that if your lifestyle changes, your diet must also change. A way of kind of saying this is you might drive your car to and from work every day, back whenever people start working again, but there might be a normal type of commute. And then all of a sudden you want to go visit family that's 8 hours away. You know that it's going to take more fuel to drive to family members that are 8 hours away than the fuel it takes to drive to work and back. We know that in a car. Your body's the same way. If you're being more active, you're going to need more fuel. So just be aware of that. So getting into the nitty-gritty of this podcast is we're going to look at what can we do if we're experiencing intense cravings. There's two main kind of global things to look at, and then I'll give you a couple like in-the-moment type management tips. So the first global thing we look at is check your caloric intake. What are you actually eating? Not what your plan says, but what are you actually eating? I'm about to be a jerk, so everybody just kind of, you know, put your put your extra layer of skin on, get some thick skin on here, okay? But I have had, oh my God, and I'm like, more than I want to count of people who will say, I'm following the diet. And then as we talk more, they're having the breakfast later than they should have. I had one client, for example, they were drinking a soda a day, which is like 60 grams of sugar, 240-ish calories. They were drinking a soda a day. They were eating extra foods on Saturdays. They just stopped after lunch on their meal plan and just said, you know what, I have to have some family time. I have to have this, da-da-da-da-da. So then on Saturdays, they were just eating whatever bullshit they wanted to eat. Sunday, they felt like, this is my only day off. I never get to relax, so I just don't want to eat on Sundays. So they were only having one or two meals. But yet they said they were following the diet plan. It took weeks to get that information from them. That they were drinking a soda, that they were bullshitting on Saturdays, bullshitting on what they were eating on Sunday. If you are so full of shit, be honest about it. That pissed me off, and you could probably tell in my voice, because I genuinely want to help people. And if the person wanted to have a soda a day, if they wanted to have a free meal on Saturdays, if they wanted to relax on Sunday, we could have made that part of the plan. But what were they telling me? Oh, I'll do everything. I want to reach my goal. I want to be the best I can be. I'll do anything you tell me. And then they weren't actually following it. Holy shit, does that piss me off. It should have pissed them off way more than it pissed me off, because they were pissing away their dreams. You can make a diet fit damn near anything. I have written successful diets for fast food menus. I helped a person lose 40 pounds and get off blood pressure medication, and they ate three meals a day at McDonald's. Unfortunately, people don't recognize there is that much variance allowance when you understand how to modify the rules of a diet. If you want to have a soda a day, if you want to eat whatever you want on Saturdays, if you want to be lazy on Sundays, we can use that, but we have to build good habits around it. So, when it comes to checking your calories, I don't want you to think, well, you know, my program says 1,800, so that's what I'm eating. Bullshit. Are you actually eating 1,800? Are you tracking it? Are you recording every single thing you eat? Or are you one of those people, you eat everything on the plan, but you kind of like snack on this and that around the house, but you don't really put that into your MyFitnessPal? Don't be full of shit. Come on now. If you really want the results, be honest with yourself. The only way you can make progress is to be honest with what you're doing today so you know what to change for tomorrow. So be truthful. That's the first thing we're looking at when we say check your caloric intake. What are you actually eating? Now, what if you don't have a diet? So somebody says, okay, well, I'll be honest. You know, I'm only eating this much. Or, well, you tell me, you know, am I following my diet? I don't even have a diet. What if we don't have a diet? My preference, and what I'd suggest that you do, and it doesn't take as much effort as you think it does. It takes less than 20 minutes a day. And don't you dare give me bullshit that you don't have 20 minutes a day. So, my best way to do this would be get a food tracker like MyFitnessPal or something like that. Track what you eat for 3 days. Find out what the average of what you eat is. And then bring that variance to within 5% plus or minus the average. So let's say that you eat 2,000 calories on average. So maybe one day, because you're watching what you're eating, you eat 1,600 calories. The next day you eat 2,000. The third day you're like, ah, screw this shit. I went out with a friend and I had lunch because I just want to have lunch and I got to live my life. So you had 2,400 calories. Okay? So that equates to a 2,000 calorie average. You want to bring your variance to within 5% plus or minus. 5% of 2,000 calories is 100 calories. So therefore, your average that you want to maintain is 1,900 to 2,100. So that's going to be what you want to do. Okay? You're going to find that number. Track what you do for 3 days. Find the average. Allow yourself a plus or minus 5% window. And eat that for 3 days. Okay? Then what I want you to do is eat 5 to 10% more than that range on your training days. So if 2,000 was your average, you're going to eat 5 to 10% more than that. So let's go with 10%. So you're going to eat 2,200. Okay? Then you would still have your plus or minus 5% range. So that's minus 220. That's a 110. So it's like 2,090. Let's just go with 2,100 because that makes the math easy for me. 2,100 to 2,300 on training days. Okay? And then on non-training days, you're going to eat 5 to 10% less. So let's say you're going to eat 1,800, and then you do the plus or minus 5%, blah, 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 and that equals a 1,700 to, say, 1,900 range. Now, if this didn't make any sense, I've already lost you. Just email me at brutalirongym@gmail.com, but I'm about to explain through it again, okay? So track your food for 3 days. Find the average. Find out what the window of allowance is for plus or minus 5% of that average. Eat that for 3 days. Stay within there. This is going to help us normalize our calories. There's a big benefit to this, and it's very important that you do that. Then, I want you to modify that range. Take what your average was, that single number of average, add 10% to it, and then find the plus or minus 5% range. You're going to eat that 10% extra on training days. You're also going to take that number and minus 10% from it, find your plus or minus 5% range. That's going to be what you eat on non-training days. So the person who had a 2,000 calorie average, their training day is going to be 2,100 to 2,300. Their non-training day is going to be 1,700 to 1,900. They want to stay within those ranges on those particular days. Then, what you would do is you'd follow that for 3 to 7 days. Okay, so we're looking at within the span of 2 weeks, you're going to go through all these steps. Within 2 weeks, you'll see what you feel. If the cravings didn't go away, you want to start to modify the numbers you're playing with. Add 100 calories to each day's total until you feel better. And then do that for a week. So 100 calories to each day for a whole week. See if you feel better. If so, great, stay there. If not, add 100 calories more. So this is how you would modify the diet to create structure, but then also to allow personal variation. If you go through these steps, you can normalize your own caloric intake, and you can modify as needed to get rid of the cravings without losing progress towards your goals. This is what I do for clients. I just do it faster because I do it all the time. Yeah, and there's other nuances and whatnot, but this is something that you can use to gain control over your nutrition, to gain control over the cravings. One of the largest reasons why people have cravings is just because of caloric fluctuation from day to day to day. So if you normalize that, it automatically lessens cravings for most people. Now, some of you say, well, I don't want to track everything and blah, 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 bitch, 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 whine, whine, whine. So the other method people will ask about is, can I just take my body weight times 13? We've all heard like calculations of this. Body weight times 11 if you're like inactive. Body weight times 13 if you're normal. Body weight times 15 if you're super active. I've recommended that those can be done before. And can it give you a ballpark place to start from? Absolutely. But it's not my favorite method. Number one is it shows the person is lazy. If they don't want to do the food tracking and they just want to do body weight times 13, 99.999% of the time it's because that person's lazy. And their laziness is going to cause problems later on in the process. So I like to attack the laziness right away. And if the person isn't willing to be not lazy, then I probably don't want to work with them. So it's a way for me to filter people out. The other issue that I don't like about body weight times 13 is it doesn't factor in where you are now. Notice how the first method, we took what you already are doing and we modified from there. If you take body weights times 13, you might be drastically under eating that. And for you to jump up to that number is going to be really uncomfortable. It's going to mentally screw with you because you're going to feel like you're going to get fat. And if your metabolism has lowered itself to deal to a smaller amount than what that number is, then yes, you actually will gain fat at first. You will actually get heavier if you go to body weight times 13 if you've been drastically under eating that for a long period of time because your metabolism is garbage. So body weight times 13 is too large of a change often from what people are doing today. Whereas if you track what you're doing for 3 days, you find the averages, go through all those steps, it can help you progressively step from where you are to where you should be. It's a much better experience. You're not going to feel so mentally defeated. You're not going to feel so uncomfortable trying to eat more or extremely more or extremely less, anything like that. So please do the 3 day tracking. Go through those steps I explained. If you have any trouble, email superlionjim@gmail.com. Now, you may be severely under eating, and that is what is causing the cravings. It's not that you're weak. It's not that you lack willpower. You're simply just not eating enough, and the body is telling you that. One of the things I've prompted clients to do is to check the other areas of your life. In what other areas of your life do you display mental weakness? Chances are you're a very disciplined person. So if you have discipline in all other areas of your life, but yet the nutrition seems to be intense cravings and is causing you to cheat on your diet, do you really think it's mental weakness? If you're so mentally strong everywhere else, it would make more sense that it's not mental weakness when it comes to food, and it's more so the fact you're under eating your calories. So please stop beating yourself up. Figure out your calories and get yourself on track. The second global thing I want you to look at is to check your caloric timing. You may also be experiencing intense cravings because you're mistiming your calories. This is most common how most people eat. They undereat during the day, they overeat at night because they think they're too busy to eat during the day. Everyone thinks they are the most busiest specialist person on the planet. For the love of God, no, you are not. No one is special. We all just have our own bullshit and challenges we got to deal with, and we make up bullshit excuses to not have to deal with them. Should you feed your body when you're active? Yes. Is it even that hard to do? No. Are you so important at what you do at work that you can't stop for 10 minutes every 4 to 5 hours? Bullshit. I've said this before, but I've had, people come to me, and especially older men, like, oh, once I get to work and I don't like to stop, you're an idiot. You're an absolute idiot. Don't brag about being stupid. Don't brag about that. Don't brag that once you get busy, you don't pay attention to any other things. There's nothing difficult about that. Ask any college kid who put in the 8 to 10 hour binger before they had a test or something like that. Okay? Even the most lazy ass college kid cannot pay attention to themselves and not eat and do homework for 8 hours in a row. You're not special. You're stupid. Don't brag about being stupid. No one is too busy to eat during the day. Now, I have worked with over 2,000 people. I've worked with people in damn near every profession that I can think of, except for like bullfighting, but every normal-ish profession, I've worked with people. And are there people who are incredibly busy? Hell yes. There are people who've had to store protein bars and or bags of cashews and nuts in their pockets, excuse themselves to go pee when they didn't really have to pee just so they could shove some cashews in their face. Okay, maybe they work in a place with a nut allergy. Oh my God, just find any food that doesn't have nuts in it then and shove that in your face. So stop the excuses. Then you have people who say, well, I'm out of shape and I have more fat than I want because I undereat during the day and I overeat at night. So I'm just going to call it intermittent fasting. I'm going to do the same damn thing, but now have a fancy title on it and magically it's going to make me not fat. What do you know? It doesn't work. So intermittent fasting is I eat nothing at like most of the day. Then I give myself like a 4 hour window where I eat all my daily calories. It's wonderful for people who like to binge. But what happens is the huge deficit, caloric deficit that you create during the day. Even though you are eating at night, your body has an intense need to make up for that huge deficit. Therefore, it'll ask for more food than you really need at that moment. You're going to get harder and harder cravings, more intense cravings. You're going to end up having to fight that process with the use of caffeine and or just not feeling 100% happy all the time. You're going to have a lot of muscle wasting. It's just not going to actually be the best it can be. What happens is when you use the body in a huge caloric deficit without eating anything, and then you eat anything, your body wants to save any excessive calories as body fat. Why? Because that's what body fat was created for. The purpose of body fat is to have stored calories for when our intake of calories wasn't sufficient. Meaning, if I'm busy in this split second, maybe I scratch my nose, and in that 1 second I required 15 calories, but I didn't have 15 calories of food digesting in my body system to be used, well, our body said, well, shit, I would die. If I didn't have the calories my organs needed all day, then I would die. My organs would fail. So, when this body eats food and there's any surplus of the food, I'm going to store some of that as body fat. I'm going to store some of those calories for later when I need them if this person doesn't eat. So body fat is designed for providing us energy at times when we are underfed. If you do intermittent fasting, if you don't eat during the day and overeat at night, you're reinforcing what body fat was created for. Do you think that that's then going to help you get rid of body fat? If I designed a car to help me travel across town, and I said, wow, that really works really well. Now let me park that car in the garage and I'm just going to walk across town. That'd be pretty damn stupid. We wouldn't do that, right? Our body wouldn't do that. Our body won't get rid of body fat when you're doing the actions that cause the body to be able to create and invent body fat. The only reason why we have body fat is because you're eating the way that you eat. That was the first reason why our body ever made body fat, was because we underate and then we overate. Now you're doing it intentionally, thinking that's going to get rid of body fat. That doesn't make any damn bit of sense. So, if we change the way we eat more when we're more active, we eat less when we're less active, we eliminate the purpose of body fat. That, then, is how you get rid of body fat. Get rid of the purpose, get rid of the fat. Okay. So, lots of preaching, lots of me being mad and angry. Sorry about that. But, this is going to be the two global things we want to look at. Is, okay, what is my caloric intake? Can I normalize that? Can I control that? And then what is my caloric timing? Can I normalize that? Can I control that? Okay? Go through those two things. Listen to our podcast. We actually just had a podcast yesterday, podcast 929, that talked about kind of caloric timing and nutrient timing. So go listen to that. It'll be very helpful if you haven't already. Okay? Now, a couple tips I want to give you right before I leave, because we're already near 30 minutes, is what do you do in the moment of cravings? Number one is eat protein instead of carbs and fats. Your body is going to tell you that it wants carbs. Carbs are the fastest, most easily digestible use of energy. So the body's going to say, feed me carbohydrates. But we're going to say, well, if I give you carbohydrates without knowing my caloric intake, I don't know if I'm going to undo my diet. I don't know if what I'm going to give you is going to be positive or negative. So instead of giving it carbohydrates, give it protein. Protein builds and repairs things in our body. It balances our pH. It grows our hair, skin, nails. It does so many things in our body that if you give the body a surplus of protein, it is incredibly unlikely that it would be converted to body fat. So if you're going to eat, eat protein. Second thing is, if you're hungry, you can eliminate part of the need for hunger, part of the feeling of hunger, by simply just filling your belly. When you fill your belly full of foods, it creates a stretching pressure on our stomach. That releases a hormone or kind of a chemical to our brain that says, hey, I'm fed. I'm full. So it doesn't really matter what you fill your belly with. If you create that stretch pressure in the belly, it starts to dissipate hunger feelings. I took advantage of this when I was dieting for several stages. I've actually dieted to lose 50 pounds in 10 weeks or less. I've done that 3 times in my life. I actually lost 50 pounds in 8 weeks one time. One of the methods I used when I had intense cravings was to just drink a 2-liter of diet soda. That is incredibly uncomfortable. But it fills your belly up with bloat and just general hatred, so you don't feel hungry anymore. I don't recommend you do that, but it gives you the example that if you fill your belly up with food, even if it's not high calorically containing food. So, for example, people who do eating competitions, one of the methods they use to stretch their stomach to shut down their hunger craving, like issues, their hunger prevention, let's say that, is to, they'll eat a whole head of iceberg lettuce and try to drink a gallon of water. They're poor digestive system. But what it does, it fills their body, but it provides really no calories. So they can expand their stomach wall, but not become fat. Because when you look at body fat, belly fat, it grows out and in. So it grows inward in the sense of getting in the way of the belly expanding, so they can't eat as much. So they want to try to find a way to expand their belly but not gain body fat. So they drink a gallon of water and they eat a whole head of lettuce. So you can eat vegetables and eat protein. That'll help you fill your body. Then also drink some kind of non-calorie-containing liquid while you're doing it, whether it's water, whether it's Crystal Light, whatever it might be. But drink liquid, eat vegetables, and eat protein. That'll fill your belly. It'll make sure that you give your body more protein. Maybe that'll be used. It'll expand the belly to get rid of the hunger craving. So that's going to make a big help, big difference. The other thing is go to sleep. Okay? Chances are, if you're hungry at night, you're not doing anything productive. You're probably, pissing around on social media or doing whatever. You're not doing anything useful with your life. So just go to bed. Okay? So podcast number 376, I just sent that to an online client, said it made a huge difference in their sleep quality. So the podcast 376 is titled Improving Sleep Quality, so I'm glad it did that for them. But if you want to learn how to fall asleep faster, fall asleep with a better quality of sleep, go listen to podcast number 376. Okay, so there was a quote that says nothing good happens after midnight. That's most likely true for most people. Once you get tired, once it's late night, you're probably not doing anything productive. Just go to bed. Okay, so that was 30 minutes of me just yelling at everybody. But I hope that it was helpful, and I hope it was at least mildly entertaining. But thank you for listening. Give these, advice a try. If you have any issues trying to figure out that caloric tracking equational stuff, just email me at brutalirongym@gmail.com. I promise I'll help. Okay? Okay. So if you're having cravings, don't beat yourself up. Just get proactive and figure out why. Okay? Cool. Well, if you need anything, our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. So to the patrons of the podcast, people who financially support the podcast, I don't say it often enough, but thank you very, very, very much. The podcast is several hundreds of dollars a year, so it is very helpful that people support the podcast financially. It means a lot. So just thank you to those who do it. I really do appreciate it. And then we have ebooks coming up that have written content along with workbooks. And we have one about flexible habits. We have one about nutrition, creating healthy eating habits. I'm going to try to get those done more and create podcasts, but those are coming up. We also have our monthly programming if you're ever interested in that. So no contract, $50 a month. Get a training program, nutrition program creation information. That's a fancy word, term. You have morning motivation, accountability tracking, free technique review, free educational support. If you're interested in any of that, let us know. And you can always check out our website at www.brutalirongym.com. Okay, anything you need at all, we're always here to help. You don't have to pay anything. Just reach out, and I promise I'll help you, okay? Okay, well, if you like the podcast, please click like. If you think the podcast is helpful in your life, please share it into other people's lives as well. The more people we help, the happier the world will be, okay? And then you can always find more information from us on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. Great. Well, if you need anything, you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, anything at all, email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.